Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we've been studying chapter 12. We're going to look at chapter 13 today and possibly a little bit of chapter 14. And our series, if you've been listening, our series is about false prophecy and false prophets. And I'm trying to contrast them against the Bible and what the Bible says about prophecy, what the Bible says about the office of a prophet and also the gift of prophecy. And I believe that if we look at the Bible, we can know what thus saith the Lord is. I believe that we can know what spiritual gifts are and spiritual offices are according to the Bible, according to what God has, according to God's way. And we said in the last couple of broadcasts that the spiritual gifts from God always glorify Christ, and they also have the care of the church, the care of the believer in mind. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd help my listeners today and also help this preacher. Lord, I pray that we would see Jesus. I pray that we would somehow decrease, Lord, myself and also my listeners, because you said that pride puffs up, that you'll only draw near to those that draw nigh to you, and we all always do that in humility. So, Lord, help me to preach. And those that are listening, I pray that you would open the scriptures to them and that they would see the Jesus of the Bible. And, Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we know that these three chapters, they go together, and we know that these three chapters deal with spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, and just a very, very brief overview, but Jesus said that if you're going to speak, let's say, a word of wisdom, or you're going to give a prophecy, or you're going to lay hands on the sick, and that the Lord would bring them to recovery. If any of these spiritual gifts are evident in your life, if you're truly in the Spirit, then you're going to glorify Jesus Christ. He said here in chapter 12, verse 3, he said, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So we can know whether a prophecy or a word of wisdom or some spiritual gift or anything spoken in the pulpit or on radio or television or whatever by someone that claims to be a prophet, we can know if they are truly led of God by comparing what they say to the Bible. And I believe that if there is a prophecy or there is a minister behind the pulpit or something, that they will always glorify Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Bible brings this out. Let's look at verse 22. "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And when one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." What God is saying here is that the gifts of the Spirit are given to help the other members of the body. God cares for the church, and that's what these three passages, or rather these three chapters, are talking about. I believe it's important to understand the context of the Word of God. If you read a passage in the Bible, here in 1 Corinthians or in Proverbs or wherever, I believe it's important that you take the time to understand what is being said and that you keep it in the proper context. And I believe that the context of these three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, God, yes, he does talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit were given to edify. And I believe that when God gave the gifts of the Spirit to the church, he was trying to bless them. Now, I know today there's a lot of controversy. I know today there's basically two camps, those that believe in the gifts of the Spirit and those that don't. And too often they fight amongst themselves. But it says right here in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And I understand the two camps. I understand those that believe one way and believe the other. But that's not what God has for us. I believe that God would have us to be in unity. And I believe that these three chapters, the theme of these chapters, yes, the subject matter is the gifts of the Spirit, but the theme of it, what God is trying to say to us here, is that God cares for the church, that Jesus Christ cares for the church, and he sent his Spirit to help us care for one another. Let's look at verse 27. And again, we're in the tail end of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church first, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Too often I've heard this preached this way by those that do not believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They will take the position that the gifts of the Spirit bring confusion, that the gifts of the Spirit bring an atmosphere that isn't reverent to God, and they'll read a few of the gifts, they'll go over the list of nine, and then they'll say, well, does everybody speak in tongues? Well, no, we don't speak in tongues in this church. And you can covet earnestly the best gifts, but I'll show you a more excellent way. And then they go to chapter 13, and we're going to go there right now. We're going to read chapter 13 and go through it. But then they'll take the stance that, yeah, you can have spiritual gifts, but even better than that is to have love. And if you have love, you don't need the gifts of the Spirit. It's funny because, yes, in chapter 13, he does talk about love. But he just said to covet earnestly the best gifts, the last verse in chapter 12. Then the first verse in chapter 14 says, follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. Now there's that theme again, that we should have care one for another. But again, they say that spiritual gifts are not for today. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, and I believe that that's good. You're speaking to God, you can edify yourself, you can build yourself up in your most holy faith, one of the other apostles says. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, again, that's the care for the church. You can obviously pray to God, you can worship before God, you can draw closer to God, you can speak in tongues to yourself if you wish, if you care to minister to the rest of the church, and that's honestly what chapter 14 talks about. It shows the proper usage of tongues and interpretation and prophecy. But if you want to minister to those that are listening, if you speak in tongues, well, let's have it interpreted. But if you can prophesy, then you are directly, it says, you are edifying, you are exhorting, and you are comforting the brethren. It says right here, let's jump to the last couple of verses of chapter 14, verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophecy, and forbid not to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. The decently in order, I believe, has to do with making sure that your speech, if it's in English or whatever other language, that you are caring one for another. But again, there are those that take these few chapters out of context. I believe in context. I believe that you can get into error if you fail to heed the context, if you begin to rip verses out of context. In other words, you take, let's say, verse 17 or verse 49 or whatever out of whatever particular chapter you're reading, and you ignore the verses before, you ignore the verses after, you can come up with a nice doctrine. Well, David Koresh did that, and look what happened to him. But the context, the unity in the context of these three chapters, I'm going to say it again, is that God wants us to care one for another and that everyone would be edified. Now, let's go ahead and read through chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. That word charity, you can say love. The Greek word would be agape, which is unconditional love. Not I love you if or I love you but I love you in spite of. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So, you can do a lot of great things. You can be the most faithful tither. You can stand on the street corner and witness. You can do a lot of things. But if you don't have love in your heart, and you're not actively showing that love to those who you're trying to minister to, or those who you sit next to the pew in, or those your church happens to be across the street from that other bunch, if you're not demonstrating love, then you really don't have a whole lot. Charity suffereth long and is kind. You know, Paul loves lists. Let's look at this list. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Now let's pause there. So, smack in the middle of these three chapters, which these three chapters are talking about spiritual gifts. Smack in the middle, Paul gives an exhortation of love and demonstrates what love is, tells us what love is about, gives us the qualities of love. And I'd like to say that love, the love that God shed abroad in our hearts, is from the Spirit. Because agape love says, look, you first, I'll go later, maybe. Pride says, me first, I'm looking out for number one. Well, I know that the Bible says that Jesus did not look out for number one. He looked out for everybody else and then himself. He is a great role model. He sacrificed his life. He gave up his ambition. He gave up his desires. He gave up himself for everyone else. He hung on the cross and died for the sins of the world. Now, whatever we do for God, in church, out of church, we should remember what Jesus Christ did. We should remember how he acted. We should remember his love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Look at this. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It's the antithesis of pride. Look at this. Seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Man, these are great qualities. And they remind me of Jesus Christ. And anyone acting with these qualities in their life, we would look at these people and say that they are followers of Jesus Christ. It says, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. In other words, you'll put up with a lot, if you love those that you're hanging around with. Charity never fails. Love never fails. If someone is being rude, if someone is being unkind to you, if someone's persecuting you or spreading rumors about you or gossiping about you behind your back, and you have love in your heart, you can forgive those people. You can show the love of God to those people. And I believe that love is probably the greatest gift of the Spirit that there is. And what did Paul say? Yet I will show you a more excellent way. Now, let's go ahead back to verse 8 and pick up where I left off. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For I know in part, then I shall know even as I am known. And these three abideth, faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, like I said, context is very important. You know, I know that this is a controversial issue, and I don't enjoy controversy. I don't enjoy conflict. But unfortunately, the church many times, again, they'll divide into two camps, those that believe in speaking in tongues and those that don't. I don't know why they pick on speaking in tongues. I believe that the gift of healing is important. We have a lot of sick people. We have a lot of people that are suffering. We have a lot of people that are in hospitals and people die every day. But for some reason, they seem to center on speaking in tongues. And a lot of people, a lot of different churches, they don't like that. Maybe they're afraid of it. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe somebody's taught them something that is unscriptural, and therefore they shy away from it. There is one line of thought. It says that, yes, love will endure forever. In verse 8, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there shall be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there shall be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And they will read that out of context. They'll take one or two verses and make a doctrine out of it and say that, well, you know, brother, tongues has passed away. Well, the gifts of the Spirit, they petered out when Peter petered out. And it's called cessationism, when the gifts ceased. And I don't believe that the gifts ceased at all. And if I can take a small detour, I don't believe that the gifts ceased. I believe all through history you can find those that believed in the gifts of healing, believed in prophecy, believed in the gifts of the Spirit. All through history, you can find this. But there are those, and again, you can look various places. Matter of fact, you can look up on the internet. I do a lot of research on the internet, and you can read about some of the false teachers. They claim that, well, you know, the gifts ceased. That somehow the gifts of the Spirit, God gave these gifts to the church, and somehow the church lost them. Well, they got tangled up with the Romans and Catholicism and everything, and somehow the gifts disappeared. But that supposedly God is restoring, God is bringing back restoration movement, whatever. They say that, well, in such and such a decade, God restored the gift of, oh, I don't know, tongues. And 10 years later, God restored healing to the church. And on and on they go. And if you listen to those teachers, quite often if you listen closely to what they say, it always comes back to themselves. That God is restoring, and like we said last week, we talked about apostles. My Bible says that the apostles are last. They do some of the greatest work, but they suffer the greatest. Paul endured a lot. Paul, he died for his faith. You look at James, they took his head. But some of the false teachers that say, well, God is restoring this gift and God is restoring this office to the church, they always seem to point at themselves and say, well, I'm the prophet, well, I'm the apostle, and, you know, you ought to make your check out to me. Well, I believe that's patently wrong. If you listen to them closely, you'll find out their real message is their preaching so that they would edify themselves. They would benefit themselves. But leaving that aside, if you look at the context, and again, I know that this is a controversial issue. If you look at the context of these verses here, verse 8 through, I guess, verse 13, some people will take it out of context and say, well, the tongues are going to cease and the prophecies are going to fail. And they say in verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And they say that what is perfect that will come has come. It came in the first century, and they say that that is the canon of Scripture. In other words, the apostles knew beforehand the 39 books in the Old Testament, but the New Testament was written by the apostles. It was written by them and in their lifetime. And there are those that believe and teach, unfortunately, that when the 27 books of the New Testament were written, that that was it. That that was the end of the canon of Scripture. That was the end of the New Testament revelation. And that's it. Prophecy failed. Prophecy quit. Tongues quit. Healing quit. It's funny. We have a lot of people in hospitals. Some of these churches do not believe that God can heal the sick. But I believe that that's a useful gift for today. But if you look at the context, and again, that's a dangerous word, context. A lot of people don't like it. If you look at the context of these scriptures, it says, in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Notice that. Are we going to see the canon of Scripture face to face? No. I believe that one day Jesus will come back. I believe that one day we're all going to go to heaven, those that are Christians. I believe that one day we're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to be there in heaven with God, seeing Him face to face. Jesus will come. The last verse, one of the last couple of verses in the entire Bible, it says, Maranatha, Lord, come. The church is really groaning that Jesus would come back. The whole creation, the earth, is groaning that Jesus would come back. One day, we're going to see Jesus face to face. Now, we try to teach the Bible. We try to understand it. We study it. We labor before God trying to understand. And then we go before the people trying to teach the Bible. And we do perhaps a good job, perhaps not a good job. We understand to the best of our knowledge. We try to understand. But one day, we're going to see Jesus face to face. And there's not going to be a need for speaking in tongues. There's not going to be a need for prophecy then. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to walk with the angels. We're going to see everything. We're going to be, what did the verse say? That we're going to see Jesus and we're going to be just like Him. We're going to have a new body. We're going to see Him just as He is. So again, the context of these three chapters is that God cares for the church. God is trying to minister to the church. And God loves the church, and we should love others just as we love ourselves. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.